So I'm gonna do the offering. I'm gonna do the offering at the end. So we at the end. So yeah, there you go. Right. So I'm gonna be preaching today about a cry of the heart, right? And so I want you guys to pay close attention, young people. I really want you to lock in to me today. It's important for my young people. I want you to lock in. Please lock in. Before I get into this, I want to read this scripture for the young people. When I say young, I'm talking about the kids. I really want them to get it, so I'm going to try to talk to them today and try to transform the way they think as well. In Romans, Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 6, and he was talking about being born again. He was talking about being baptized in Christ and being resurrected, right? And he was trying to get the people to understand the importance of dying to yourself because we had two natures, right? And so Paul, in the 7th chapter, he really brought it out. He said, man, there's a warning in my members. Whenever I desire to do good, evil is always present, right? And so Paul, in the 6th chapter, he really tries to put the emphasis. Now, I want you guys to hear me. This is for adults and children. I'm going to try to change my preaching a little bit, man, to really so kids can grab a hold of this thing, so make it so simple, right? But this 12th verse in that 6th chapter is this. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Now, I want you to hear me. I want to say this again for the kids, right? And the reason I'm saying this, because the media and everything is pushing downward, right? There's videos out there with young kids doing some stuff, man, that just is unimaginable, right? It's things that's happening, and kids are getting involved with things that's unimaginable, things that some of us would never have thought about doing. We may have thought about it, but we never did it. They doing it, right? And so our kids are being influenced by social media, because they're in the social media world, and it's influencing them, and then they're getting engaged in things, and people are so evil, their heart is so dark. Some of the kids think they're doing stuff in secret, and people are videoing them, right? And then they're putting it on the public view for people to see, and it's crazy, and they don't realize that that spirit can grab them and just take them down the road. There's almost sometimes no return, right? So when he says in that 12th verse, he says, that 6th chapter of Romans, it says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desire. He said, don't let your sin nature rule you, because you have two natures. Don't let your sin nature rule you. Then he says this, do not offer any part of yourselves to your sin. Talk about your sin nature. He said, do not offer any part of yourself to your sin as an instrument. Everybody say instrument. Of wickedness. Right? No parts of you. Don't offer any parts of you. Right? He said, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness, right? So anybody or anything or anyone, this is for all of us, somebody asks you to do something that you know is not right, you already know it's not from God. If it's not from God and it's not for good, and if you do it in secret, I remember I heard a story, I don't know if it's a true story, that Louis Farrakhan from the Nation of Islam told when he was a young minister to Elijah Muhammad. And he had a young girl in his midst, and the rule was if you had sex before marriage, you get put out the mosque. Now, I don't know how true that is, but this is a story I heard, right? He didn't say it. I just heard it. And they say, so he was so nervous because he was a young minister. He went to Elijah Muhammad and asked Elijah Muhammad. He said, I don't know what to do, minister. He said, because I believe this girl. He said, she's a nice young girl, and she seems so sincere. So Elijah Muhammad said, just go back and ask her a question. He said, ask her, did she do it in the dark or did she do it in the light? He said, if she did it in the dark, she already knew better. But if she did it in the light, she didn't know no better. So don't let her fool you. right? So the thing is, if you're doing stuff in secret, you already know it's wrong, right? And so, and if I have to do it in secret and I'm hiding it from someone and I don't want anybody to know, it's going to show up later on. And you can't trust nobody out there. They can say they're your friends, they love you, you know, you my dog, you my girl, you know, you my ride or die, and they videoing you the whole time. And now you're mad, you go into a depression, mental illness is an all-time high. Now you want to lose your mind and you don't know what to do, you're too embarrassed to go to school, you're too ashamed to do anything. All right, it's because you trusted the devil. Because the spirit that's in some people you think is righteous and is not. Because you don't know the environment they're involved in. You call them your friend, but you don't know what's going on behind the scene. You don't know who pulling their strings. You don't know who is using who to lure you. You think it's innocent, and it's not so innocent after all. And then you caught up into something, and then you scared, and it costs money. And remember this, young people. There's nothing you can do to hurt just you. Whatever you do impacts a whole lot more people than just you. It impacts so many people. It can cost so much money and so much pain, and you didn't even do it. They didn't do anything. It's because they love you. Right? And so I wanted to get that out before I get into this, the cry of the heart. Right? Because it's important, because it's your heart that matters, right? And so it's important that you understand this. So the heart has its own complex nervous system. It has its own complex nervous system, often referred to as the little heart of the brain, right? It says, in the 1990s, researchers found that the heart had a nerve cell and neurons that akin to that of the brain. Looked like it had the same kind of system that the brain has. In other words, the heart had its own very own nervous system, right, that could function independently of the brain, right? So you can, the heart deals with your feelings and your emotions, right? And then it goes on to say, this is a network of neurons and neurotransmitters that's allowed to regulate its own beat. So it regulates your own heartbeat. It ain't your brain. It's your brain that's in your heart. It's the neurons that's in your heart that's creating this. It says, his next thing says, this network responds to changes in stress, emotions, and exercise. It communicates with the central nervous system, which is the brain. So it communicates with the brain. So your heart, you feel something, then you think it, then you act it. Right? And so I always tell people, when you do something, you have an event. The event is so powerful in your life, right, that it takes a picture. And when it takes a picture, you can think about it. And that motion will bring the picture up and make it real all over again. You can have a dream. That's how powerful it is, right? And in the dream, man, you're scared to death and it never happened. But it was in your body. It was in your emotions, right? And so, and what happens is, subliminally, man, they work through your emotions. They touch your emotions. And once I can get your emotion, I got you. Right? That's why they make you shout and they make you dance. They get you charged up and you like, pray, God is good, and I can get all your money. Right? So people get you charged up. They get you charged up and you get all emotionally charged and you make a decision. And they tell you in research and everything else, don't make a decision when you're emotional. When you're too happy or too sad. If something happened, you have a tragedy in your life, don't make a decision while you're emotional. Right? Your heart is that important, right? So we're going to work with this. Now, this story is a very, very powerful, powerful story, right? And we hear it, but I want to bring it out to you, right? So in, it says, the gift that moves God. Now, listen, this is important because I want you to understand this is about nobody else but you. This is an inside job. You can't. It's not your mama, it's not your dad, it's not your brother, it's not your cousin. Every kid, every adult, everyone, this is on you. Everybody said, this is on me. All right. Now listen to what happens in Genesis 4, 3 and 5. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crop as a gift to the Lord. So he comes, Cain, who was a farmer, presents his gifts to God. Right? You seem like God would be happy about it. Abel also brought a gift, the best portion of the firstborn lamb from his flock. The Lord accepted, watch this here, he accepted Abel's and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Why is it that God would accept one and not the other one, right? Because it was not about, listen to me, it was never about your giving. It was never about the offering. It was about what was your heart like. What Cain, when Abel gave his, he gave the first and the best of what he had. He gave his best to God. The question you have to ask yourself is this: am I giving God my best? Or just what's left? You don't have to ask anybody that, right? Because you know in your heart, what am I really presenting to God? So me and God got a relationship, you know. He's working on the inside of me. He's talking to me all the time. Am I honest with him? You can lie to Pastor Duren. You can lie to your mama. You can lie to your granny. But you can never lie to you. And you know if you're giving your best effort or not, right? You know, you have people say, oh, you know, yeah, and I did this, and I did that, but you know it wasn't your best, right? And when you don't give your best, man, God is never pleased. Now, we're not talking about, God just loves us all because he resides inside you. God said, man, I reside in your heart. And when your heart is dark, you're going to make decisions, man, based on you, your sin nature. That's why the born-again experience was so important. That's why he told the young people, you got to be born again. Because you have to have a transformation of the heart, not the mind. You have to have a transformation. Because if your heart is changed, it'll change your mind. But if your heart is dark, if your heart is not right, it's going to affect the way you think. And it's going to think. Now watch. And the way you think is going to be the way you behave. So you can take a person and put them in any environment you want. But if their heart is dark and their heart is not right, it's going to be a problem. And Cain had an issue because Cain gave God something, right? And it seemed like God would be happy with him. God said, listen, but your heart, you didn't give me your best. You just gave me something, right? You knew it was there because it seemed like he would have took it. But if your heart is wrong, hear me well, right? Your wife can feel it if you're married. Your husband can feel it. If your kids know if your heart is not right. You know, I got kids and grandkids and all that kind of stuff. They can tell me anything they want to tell me, but I know their heart. I've been around them long enough to know your heart. You can tell me anything you want, and I can believe you because I want to believe you. But deep down inside, I said, boy, you know better. I know you did it. I may not want to say it because I don't want to be embarrassed in front of everybody, but in my heart, I know your heart. Right? And if your heart is not, it's going to stop you somewhere along the way. Your parents can have money. You can have all nice clothes and all that. You can dress up. It's like a person going to a Carl Ritz hotel, a Carl Ritz. It can be beautiful, but even they got bed bugs. So you can look good on the outside. You can put the sheet on. It can be so nice, you can pop a quart on it. But if it's bed bugs, when you leave there, you got a problem. And if you get bed bugs, you got to, I don't care if your house is a $500,000 house. I don't care if you have $1 million house. You got to tear everything down. That's what happened when you mess around with sin. It's like a bed bug. Right? You try to get it, and it just hang on to you. You try to put it in the dryer. And you try to dry it out. But it was in a sock. And now it's starting all over again. You got to get rid of everything. That means, and that's what happens in our life. If we don't stop all the mess, it's going to keep showing up in our life. And the younger we are, the worse it is. And kids learn things from us. It's learned behavior. Right? Now, I'm not saying they necessarily learn from their parents, but sometimes you let your kids spend the night over somebody else's house. right? And you know you don't even like the way they talk because you and your wife talk about them, but you leave your kids over there, then you wonder why your kids come back crazy. And you was talking about them when y'all was in the pillows. In John, it says, for God is a spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God looks not just at what we bring, but how we bring it. I don't care if you come to church and you show up and you dress nice and you talking and you hugging everybody and all that. God said, but your heart is not right. And here's the thing, and I know your heart because I'm reside in you. I'm going to let you in on a secret. He's inside of all of us, right? And our sin nature, and he's wrestling with that. Paul says they're wrestling, right? And here's the problem. I told my wife the other day, I said, honey, people watch stuff in these series, and you do stuff, and you listen to stuff, and if you don't have a devotional life, you hear me well, right? I don't care. I'm not saying I'm right. This is my thought process. Now, I can be wrong, so I don't want you to say, well, he think he right. Now, I'm not saying this is what I think, though. Right? If whatever you feed grows. So if you sit there and listen to junk all day and watching all kind of junk all day and you don't spend no time in your devotional life, that thing's going to grow. And y'all said, man, you're going to start looking at people cross-eyed and you don't know why you're looking at them cross-eyed. Because that's what you're feeding all the time. So if you, now listen to me, don't miss this here. If you let your kids sit there on the tablets all day long and watch all, you think they watching Stitches, but they can watch Stitch and then a nude video show up, right? And so in those things, and we don't monitor them, we don't put anything on the monitor. So in those things, get in their spirit, and all of a sudden they're experimenting, right? And so you start to feed it, and then they watch it more and more and more. Now listen to me, now. Young kids, y'all respond for you all. So you know that you, because something inside of you told you to turn it off. Because the God in you said turn it off. The God in you told you not to lie, not to cheat, not to steal. But your heart is dark. And when your heart is dark, it shows up in your behavior, in your attitude. You walk around with an attitude. When you got an attitude and you're talking crazy to people, what you been listening to? Because you can't tell me. You can't tell me based on scripture. Now I'm not saying based on scripture and all the other stuff I read, all kind of spiritual stuff. I have never seen a person that really had a devotion to God show up with a funky attitude. They just don't have it in scripture. It just didn't happen. I'm not saying. Now you listen. You do not have to have a funky attitude. So if you got a nasty attitude and you're talking crazy, you got to figure out what am I listening to? What am I downloading in my system? Yeah. Right? And because whatever I'm downloading, it got my heart. It don't just have my brain. It have my heart. And if I don't get a heart transplant, I'm in trouble. Because it's going to get progressively worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And you'll go from one relationship to another relationship. Your friends don't even want to be around you, but they're scared because they're scared you might fight. So they hang around you even though they don't like you. Nobody want to be around you. You walk around think you're bigger than life. You don't have nothing. You poor than joke. You think you're something. You don't have nothing, and you think you're something. What? So you look down on people. Give me some scripture when Jesus looked down on somebody. Give me some scripture when anybody holy ever looked down on somebody. When they thought they was better than somebody. That happened when your heart is messed up. When you got it, that's not when your brain, it's when your heart is dark. Because your brain only thinks what your heart said. And when it's sending a signal, then you walk around thank you something because you got $2 and a quarter. Right? But you don't have nothing. Your money don't mean nothing. It's about relationships. And relationship is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of your heart, right? It shows up in your heart. I don't care what you do. It's your heart. And here's the thing. You can't change nobody. People are who they are. So if they're acting a fool, you can talk to them all you want. Terrio can talk to his baby all he want. He's now, listen, girl, now I told you. Why you keep on saying, baby, now I told you? Because she's doing what she want to do, right? So what you got to do is try to get her heart right. Because if she ever get God, you ain't got to worry about nothing. I can send her all by herself because I know she's going to do right. Because her heart is right. I ain't got to worry about no. I ain't got to worry about cheating. I ain't got to worry about us doing those things because her heart is right. So we just trying to work on your heart. So when you're acting crazy, we trying to get your heart right. Because the social media and everything else is trying to give you a dark heart. They're trying to turn you cold-blooded. Right? And that's how Cain. Cain was cold-blooded. He was so cold. Everybody said cold. Right? And there's always a warning before the fall. You hear me well. Listen, it's always a warning before the fall. God will always warn you because he's inside of you. And listen to what he said. Why are you so angry? Why are you so angry, Cain? I need to know. This ain't nobody but Cain and Abel. There was other people in the world, so we don't get into that. That's not a theological seminary, right? Why are you so angry, man? You just brought an offering to the Lord, right? But I rejected it. Why are you angry? You're angry. Why? Because you know your heart. So why are you tripping, Cain? You know in your heart you're not right. How many of you have been mad when you know you ain't had no reason to be mad? You want people to think you're mad. You're like, that dog, it didn't caught me. So he says, why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain, why do you look so dejected? You walk around here like, I don't understand. Why are you mad? Right? The kids walk around. This is, Mom, you make me say, why? You know if you had came home when I told you to, you would have been all right, but you didn't. I told you, your friends told you to do this. I told you to do this, and you did this. Right? That's why you dejected, because your heart wasn't right. Because you wanted to do whatever you wanted to do at my expense. Right, now hold on, wait, we gotta get this in. So he says in verse 7, you will be accepted. Everybody, listen to me. He's gonna always warn you before the fall. You will be accepted if you do what is right. Everybody in this room from 2 years old and up. No, whenever I do what's right, I ain't never nervous. I'm never worried when I do what's right. I only get shaky when I do something shaky. When I do something wrong, then I worry. Oh, Lord, I don't want to go home. Why? Because I done something wrong. So now I'm worried, right? But if you do what's right, you won't be worried. You won't worry about being rejected by your parents. You won't worry about getting a whooping. My mama told me to go to the basketball court. So you can go to the basketball court, be home by 5 o'clock. So I come home at 4:59, I walk in the house, I'm good. But if I come in, my mom said, now if you come in at a minute after 5, I'm tearing it up. So I come in there, man, 2 minutes after 5. Well, see, it's only 2 minutes, but I told you, you already coming in. So it was only the reason why you said it, because you already messed up. Right? Now, here's the thing. It does not matter what everybody else tell you. You know the clock. You already know. You know what's right. Right? So you just got to do it. Say, man, I'm done, man. Listen, man, that's one more basket. All right, man, give me something to put in my pants because that basket going to cost me something when I get to the house. I'm going to give it to you. Let's go out for one drink. One drink, man. Just run to the bar with me. Just one drink. Just, hey, listen. Just, you know, one little thing. One text. One little, and you're in trouble. But when your heart is right, they can never tell you what. When your heart is right, right away, you're going to reject it. Here's what's happening. Because God resides in you. And he's going to tell you the right thing to do. And you do. Say, I don't understand this here. See, mama, you know, I mean, I used to have kids. I was a principal, Martha. And these kids was tripping. Right? And they come and they thought they were slick. So I'd be talking to them and they tell me whatever they thought I wanted to hear. Oh, Mr. Duran, I promise you, I would never do that again. And I'm like, boy, your heart is dark. You're going right back. As soon as you leave my office, you're going to do something crazy again. Right? Because all you got to do is watch them in the hallway. And you knew the ones who weren't going to do nothing. And when they said it, they meant it. Right? But here's the thing that's so important. He says, but if you refuse to do what is right, watch this here. Then watch out. Everybody say, watch out. Because, listen, not somebody else, but your sin nature, right? That nature that's in you, not your friend. Your friend not going to talk you into doing, your friend can't talk you into doing nothing that you don't want to do. It's never anybody. Well, you know, it's peer pressure. That's just somebody who was writing a book. And no such thing as peer pressure, right? You did what you wanted to do. You can't pressure me into doing what I don't want to do. I got to make a decision, right? Either you going to whoop me or my mama going to whoop me, right? But if she whoop me, I may lose some privileges. I might can get you if I catch you slipping, so let's go at it, right? But I'm going to do what's right. Watch what happens. So he says, watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager. Everybody say eager. To control you. Your sin nature want to control you. It's always telling you to do the wrong thing. But this is what I like to do. This is what I want to do. Listen, and something inside of you tell you don't. I don't care how bad you want to. That's why Paul says a warning in my member. But if my heart is not dark and God has my heart, it's not even a battle for real. Right? I just tell my sin nature, not today. I'm not yielding to you today. Right? He said, I'm not yielding. Then he says this. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. You got to be in control of you. You got to control your heart. God gave you the power to be in control. I can change. It's not a situation in life, man, that's involving me that I can't control. I was telling my wife the other day, I was doing something, and she said, so-and-so, so-and-so, so. I said, we didn't have to stay there. She said, man, we was over there, and we just sitting there, nothing going on. I said, and it wasn't their fault. We could have got in our car and left. But we chose to stay there and talk about it afterwards. Right? It didn't have nothing to do with them. If I didn't like it, I could have left. That's on me. It's not on somebody else. I don't have to listen to the madness. I don't have to say, well, you know, I'm married to it. Go in the other room. Everybody said, but they follow me downstairs. Then go outside. They follow me. I get in the car and leave. Mash on the gas. Let them chase you down the street. They can't outrun the car. Now, I know. I already know. Some of y'all said, man, you don't know my wife, though. She coming, bud. Right? But the woman that's chasing or the man that's chasing, they're doing it because that's what they want to do. Because they don't have to. I don't even have to love you if I want to. I get to control that. Because there were some people I used to love I don't love no more. I chose not to love them anymore. Right? But when your heart is right, God almost opens up the windows of heaven and lets you see things and pour out blessings. You don't even have room enough to see it. You can see it before you see it. I don't care what's going on. You can see. Listen, you know, some of you all, you already know 3 months down the road, are you going to have the money to pay your rent or not? 3 months down the road, you already know, right? Cause you, right now, and some of you all, you can see it. And because you see yourself mismanaging the funds. And you already got a plan. Because I already know when I get so far in, I'm calling Auntie. Or I'm calling Mama. Right? So how many of you ever read the book called Let Them? Anybody read the book called Let Them? It said, let them. Let them be broke. Martha told me about the other day. I bought the book, Martha, and I read it on my bike. I was riding. I let her. I told Ardina, says something. I said, do it, dear. I let her. Yeah, she's okay. I'm going to let you. She said, I'm going to let you too, bud. Right now, so it's always a warning. Everybody say a warning. It's always a warning before the fall. So God always warns us Scriptura. Because God is a spirit, and he warns you about what's going on before you get into it. It's important. But here's the thing. I want everybody to understand something, man. God loves you so much, right? And listen to me. Don't love your kids so much, man, that you make your heart dark. And you look at people crazy because your kids said something when you know your kids. Right? Because you talk about them. You say they get on your last nerve. They talk back too much. They got a little smart mouth. Then when somebody else tell you they're smart, you're like, don't, you don't talk about my kids. You said something about them. Right? And so you got to realize, because some of the things they do, they create the problem. And then we come in and try to defend it, right? It's, everybody says because of the heart. Now, so temptation in your life are no different from what others experience. So what you, when you attempt it, other people attempt it just like you. But watch this. And God is faithful. Everybody say faithful. He will not allow any temptation to be more than you can stand. That means whatever you tempted with, he give you the power to withstand it. And it's not going to come from outside. It's not going to come from your parents. It's not going to come from your spouse. It's going to come from you. He's going to always give you the power to resist the temptation. Right? And we have the power. And so, well, Pastor, you understand. Sometimes it's just tough. And listen, you've been in tougher situations than that and said no. You've been in some situations so tough, you know you should have been out of here. You say, oh, no, not this one, babe. We're going the other way. Your friend said, come on. We did some stupid stuff when I was in college, right? And we did some stuff that wasn't so stupid. We didn't. I remember one time they told us, you don't go in the girls' room, because I was at all-black college, right? They said, don't you go in the girls' room, because if you're caught in the girls' room, you're going to jail or you're going home. We're either going to kick you out of Alcorn State University or we're going to take you to jail in Port Gibson, Mississippi. So I'm like, it ain't going to happen, right? Because I ain't going. I snuck in the room. And, you know, the girl, they, I did it, right? And they, so the guy came, he said, he's downstairs on the mic. He said, Mr. Dern, you might well come on out. I'm going to jump off the window. I'm like, and here's the thing. I knew when I went to her dorm, nobody on campus, when I went to her dorm, before I pushed the elevator, God already told me it was wrong. He told me. He said, now don't you go up there. You might mess around and get caught. He said, if you do, you're going to jail or you're going home. Are you prepared to go home and face beat a girl? Or do you want to go down to the county jail with nobody here to get you out? Because I ain't had no bail money. Because my brother said, if you go to jail, it's on you. Right? So I did it anyway. I said, I'm going to take a chance. When he called my name, I wet my pants. He gave me a route out. He told me don't do this. Now, I didn't end up going to jail or going home, right? And the guy was nice, man. He said, listen, man, get out of that room right now and go out the back. Man, act like I don't see you. Get out of here. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And I was running out of there. And my girlfriend was fine, but she wasn't that fine. I left her right there. I said, you know, girl, you don't look so good after all. Right? So, but he always gives us a way of escape. He does. So when we into something, but listen here. Here's the thing with when you have a dark heart, right? When your heart is dark, you're blinded. You're blind. You're put, when you ain't really focused on who God is in your life, right? And how important it is, you'll get blind and then you'll follow your sin nature. And you'll only do what feels good to you. Now, he's still going to tell you no, right? And he always going to give you a way of escape. But you'll turn the eye, man, be blind to God, and then do it, and then it's too doggone late. Right? For the moment. But he will deliver you if you repent and turn. Sincerely turn. You can't be like some of us. I used to say, Lord, if you let me out of this one, I promise you I won't do it again till tomorrow. That's what you really be saying in your mind. You don't say it tomorrow. You just know tomorrow you're going to do this thing again, right? Right? Until You think you're going to jail in Port Gibson, then you don't do it no more. You don't go back on the floor, right? Now, so here's what he said. He says, temptation in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He would not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand when you are tempted. I don't care what it is, right? This is important. He will, everybody say he will, show you a way out so that you can endure. He's always going to show you. Now listen, what he's trying to do, he's trying to get your heart right. So he give you chances. It's called mercy and grace. And the reason why you're here today is because God loved you unconditionally. Because you know you shouldn't be sitting here. Some of y'all know you shouldn't be married. You know nobody shouldn't ever marry you. Right? You look good on paper. But nobody should never marry you. You should never got her. But he should have never got you. I know Ardina should have never got Stu Man. I don't know how it happened. I think because I gave my life to the Lord. And so he had grace and mercy on me, right? Because I was something else, right? But it was his grace. And when I turned my life over and gave my heart to him, he gave me her. Right? So when your heart gets right, everybody say, get your heart right. Right now. And so he's never going to do that. Now, I got to cut across real quick. Now, the cost of unchecked emotions or the cost of a dark heart, right? One day Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out into the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother, Abel, and killed him. That's what happened, man, when your emotions is unchecked. You'll start plotting to hurt somebody. You'll start plotting to do stuff, man, to mess with others. Remember, everything is about relationships. But you start thinking about other things. And everything we do impact other people. And we're all in this thing together. You cannot make a decision. I can't do something on Sister Ardina and it don't affect everybody in this building. If I do something, it's going to affect everybody in this building and their friends. Because they're going to be at dinner at their friend's house, the ones that don't go to Kingdom Members, they're going to talk to you about me. Right? When I took the mic from Jasmine, listen, it was all over the state. It was everywhere. The apology was, it impacted people who weren't even a part of my church. So you can't make a decision, right? That's why God wants your heart right, because you make a decision, think it's independent, and it affects too many people. It impacts people you think don't even care about you. People you impacted when you was a kid. You make a decision, man, it changed their life. They say, oh, my, I can't believe that happened to so-and-so. And all of a sudden, they get a knot in their stomach because you made a decision. They ain't seen you in 30 years. So God tried to get us around it by pouring his spirit inside of us. That's what he said. That's why I'm never going to leave you. And I'm never going to forsake you. He said, I'm always going to be there, man, trying to give you a path. I'm always going to be there. I'm always going to be there knocking at the door. I'm always going to tell you to make the right choice. I'm always going to tell you, give your heart to me. Allow righteousness to reign in your life. Let me rule and not your sin nature. Right? And if you let me rule, your heart will be right. And when your heart is right, I was walking down the street, right, and somebody chased me to give me some money. I was on my bike. I wasn't walking. I was on my bike. The girl chased me, ran the conference, stopped, jumped out the car, and said, Holland, said, here, I had $250 I wanted to give you. I got excited. Right? And I said, wow, God, you're amazing. That's what he do. When your heart is right, he'll touch other people to bless you when you don't even know you're being blessed. That's what happens. People try to figure out ways to be a blessing to you. You don't have to ever worry about anything when your heart right, because you're never going to try to cheat nobody out of nothing. You're not going to con nobody out of nothing. You're not going to run a hustle. You're not going to play. Listen, you're not going to play the system. You're not going to know when your rent's due and think the government going to pay it. You're going to go to work. You're going to do what you're supposed to do, and you're going to do what you're supposed to do, and you're not going to try to cheat nobody. You're not going to lie and tell somebody you got this when you didn't get it. You're not going to sell your food stamps because somebody gave you something to feed your kids. When you sell your food stamps, you got a dark heart. I'm putting that out on social media. Your heart is dark. You told the people you was hungry and your kids didn't have no food. And based on the number of kids you got in the house, they gave you the amount of food they think you should have to last for the month. And you sold half the stamps. And then halfway down the reach, you ask somebody to give you some money because you need some bread. That happened because your heart was dark. You said, I didn't have enough resources. No, you had enough resources. But you can't, but somebody, God bless you and gave you the resources. But when your heart is dark, you give it away. You say, no, but you don't understand. No, don't you know in your heart what's right. Because you sold the stamps 50 cents on the dollar. Because they weren't going to buy them dollar for dollar. Then you call your social worker and say somebody stole your car. Now the person that got the dark heart that bought them, now they worry because he told somebody they stole it and they trace you down and realize that you bought them. Now they saw you stole them and now you going to jail, the federal government coming after you. Your heart was dark for buying them and theirs was dark for selling them. We laughing, y'all, but that's a heart issue. It's a heart issue because now we're in trouble. Because when they cut you off, your kids ain't got no food. Then you're mad. You go down there and want to kick the dough in. Then they take you to jail and ain't nobody going to bail you out. But when your heart is right, you go down there. A lady told me she went down there and they bypassed everybody else and moved her head. When your heart right, because everything in this world operates through people. Everything is human beings. Remember this, everybody's human. So when your heart is right, what comes from the heart touches the heart. So when your heart is right, you don't talk crazy to people because the people that go to work is just like you. But when your heart is dark, you don't care. You're self-centered. You're egotistical. Your sin nature runs your life, and Christ don't. You claim Christ. We say we got the mind of Christ, but our behavior reflects somebody else. So I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Long as I live, and trouble rise, I haste unto his throne. Look at Derek. Derek ready to dance now. Derek said, oh, break me up. Want to do it? Right. Now, so I'm going to cross the field and be done with it. Now, it's important, right? Now, here's the thing. Afterwards, the Lord asked Cain, where is your brother? Where is Abel? I don't know, Cain responded. But am I my brother's guardian? But the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying. It's really crying. It cries out right from the ground because God know you and he know what you've done. He know what's going on. And he know your act. And he came to you and asked you because I know you. I know your heart, right? But here's the thing, right? So when your emotions get unchecked, you don't care about nobody else. When you start thinking about just you and you don't care about people, I don't care about these, because they ain't nothing but a bunch of so-and-so, so-and-so, and so are you. Because you can't give me one scripture. Right? Only thing Jesus said was, they lack of their father, the devil. He just recognized that there was spirit that was in them. He didn't beat them down and run them down and say everybody like to see it. Because a lot of times when you say that, man, you're the same way they are. When your heart is dark, you look at people different. Here's what happens when your heart is right. Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't know, right? But God always. So when your emotions get unchecked, you do crazy stuff. When your heart is dark, you do crazy stuff. So when you're doing crazy stuff, you say, I got to do a heart check. Young people, when I get ready to go to school back in the fall, and I don't care what the kids are doing. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care what they're doing on the playground. I don't care what they're doing on the bus. You sit on the bus and be quiet. Don't you act a fool and clown, and the bus driver got to turn around and wreck the bus and kill people on the bus because you acting a fool? Because your heart is dark, you want to show off for everybody else? Can nobody tell me what to do? I'm grown. My mama don't even tell me what to do. You right. But somebody going to tell you. They got a youth home for you. They got some places for you. Right? And then you're not going to like the results. Right? But when your heart is right, people look at you differently. People help you even when you don't even deserve to be helped. Teachers will stay after school for you even though they got kids at home. They'll come in early just for you because they want you to be successful. they'll pour out for kids. Your employers, they'll work, they'll bend over backwards for you when your heart is right. Now, we must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one. The reason why he said that, right, and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. His heart, your heart make you do evil things. Everybody say, my heart. My heart, right? And then I'm done, because I don't even want to go to 12:30, so I'm going to finish this sermon up next week, right? When jealousy is ignored, it gives life to your sin nature. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. Jealousy makes your heart dark. Chris, I'm only jealous of people because I think God has done less for me than what he done for them. Can you imagine the guy decided, you said, man, you not even appreciate what I've done for you? You jealous of them? You don't even know why I did what I did for them. Why are you jealous of them? You can't even handle this one. You know, little Zach buy a new car, and I'm like, man, I'm jealous of him. I can't even afford the note. If he gave me a new one, then I'm going to be stressed out when they repo it. Because I already know I can't afford the note for 5 years. So I can't drive no Benz like Shaq. Shaq, the man, Shaq took me out of the back. He had a new Mercedes, right? He said, man, look, you got to see this, man. Look at it. I looked at it. It was so cute. I said, ooh, that look good. But I like, and I looked at my car. I said, it look nice too. Mine do too. I said, I'm not buying no Mercedes. I'm not. I don't care what he said, right? I'm staying in my lane and be happy. And then, I'm going to stay in my lane. If I get excited, if I get excited, and I need a big truck, I'm going to call Chris and get his F-150. If I need a Mercedes, Shaq say, hey, man, you can drive my car for a week. So I can borrow somebody's for it. And when your heart, listen here, and when your heart is right, I can call Tyler. Listen, Tyler, can I borrow your Mercedes? Can I borrow your Benz? Yeah, can I borrow your Lexus? Yeah, you can buy it, Pastor Dan. Come and get it. But my heart is like, hey, can I ride your bike? My bike? You better not even ask for my skateboard. You can't get nothing from me. How many people know what I'm talking about? Right? So I'm going to finish this up next week. Listen, I want you to think about this here, the cry of the heart. God wants to know, is your heart right? Right? Here's what God wants to know. Are you honest with God with your giving, not your financial giving, with your giving of yourself? Are you honest? Are you true to the person? Are you really giving the person everything about you? Or are you withholding something back? Do they really see the God in you? So today is the day that you get an opportunity to change the narrative. And you can be the person God called you to be. And quit living a lie. And trying to be somebody that you're not. And doing things to hurt people. Quit cheating and let God keep on blessing you. Because I promise you, I'm telling you from experience, a kid who grew up poor with nothing and nothing. If you live right, God will bless you. And all of us, I ain't the only one got that testimony. A lot of us got that testimony. Right? Some of you guys going off to college. Look, Sister Hill, she going off to college. Her heart got to be right. It's going to be some people there give her a job on campus even if she wasn't looking for it. Because you will need somebody to bless you. Right? God looking out for you. Right? He just wants you to lean into your Christ nature. Because you got both natures. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap. So we're going to get ready to do the offering. Someone had us with the guys from offering come up, we got to do the offering. Listen, two things. As we prepare our heart for giving, just know something. Now, hear me well. Whatever you give, let it be from the heart. I don't feel guilty into doing anything, nothing based on my sermon. Do it based on your heart. Whatever God put in your heart, that's what you have to do, right? Because it's between you and God. God knows your heart. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, as we prepare our hearts, if anyone would like to be a part of the Kingdom Embassy family, right, if you'd like to join, I would love for you to just come up front And just give us your name and everything so we can give you some information how you can become a part of the Kingdom Embassy family. Right? That's extremely important. If you want to accept Christ in your life and you want a closer walk and you want someone to walk with you on this journey, all right, come up and we'll do that as well. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this offering. Thank you for the message. Thank you for our heart. So we ask you, Lord, to bless all those. Lord, whatever is in their heart, you put it there. So, Lord, we just trust whatever you do. And so, Lord, we thank you for every one of them. And we ask you to continue to be with them, give them strength, give them wisdom. And as they leave this place, Lord, don't never, ever let them leave you. Let them always think about you. Let them think about their heart. Every little kid, every adult, let them always remember who you are. And give them traveling mercies. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to do the offering. Everybody's going to march. We need everybody to march. So we're going to march around, and we're going to dismiss at the same time. So don't go out that way. March around. Even if you don't have nothing, just touch the table, and then go back out, and then you can go out in the lobby and shake hands and hug and kiss. Those who want to be a part of the church, come up here, and then we give you. If you need prayer, stay up, and we'll pray for you. All right, leave them around. Ushers.